And our staff is so caring. And the hard part is they're often asking for help, and especially in our rural area, mm-hmm. where maybe an urban area has a lot more nonprofits around. We just don't have those resources. Yeah. And, you know, when a kid comes with those stresses at home, it really impacts, you know, kind of their readiness to maybe have a fully engaged learning experience. And so that's a big ask. I don't know how we can solve that for our kiddos. But I think if you ask any of our staff, they all point to families that are just struggling, and sometimes beyond any cause of their own.
Right.
And especially for the students. And how do you solve for that?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Nathan Westcott. Nathan is the Director of Special Services at Lincoln County School District Number 2, and that is in Afton, Wyoming. Nathan, thank you for being here.
Hey, Janet, thanks so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to this.
Awesome. Awesome. And we were commiserating. We're both from the Midwest, and I grew up in Grand Island, Nebraska. And I love talking to people that have had the same experiences. So super exciting to talk to you and to hear about the things that are happening. So tell us, what's going on in Lincoln County?
Well, we are probably about a full month into the school year right now, and things are moving, and there's never a dull moment. We did have a construction crew hit a power line yesterday, so our high school got power for about 2 hours, but they did awesome, the staff over there and the students. And so just, you never know what to expect, and you just kind of roll with it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my goodness. That's not definitely an unexpected. We were talking yesterday. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and it was like, you know, because they were talking about trauma-informed situations. And it's like, they have a team and all of this. And I was like, that's not something you can schedule. And she's like, no, we definitely don't get to schedule those.
Sure.
So try to prevent them as much as you can. But yeah, it was kind of a chuckling moment. So same kind of thing. You go with the flow. Just so people know, we are recording this on September 24th, 2025. So this will drop right about, it'll be about Thanksgiving when this comes out, because we're about 2 months out. So what are some of your wins, and what are some of your challenges that you have there?
Well, you know, for our district, we're rural. We actually have a unique setup where we're about 100 miles long. We have a mountain pass between us and another community that's self-contained. In the main part of our district, we can have students that are on the bus for almost an hour.
Wow.
And so our wins, I think really it goes to my staff. So I have about 140 staff that I'm ultimately responsible for. And really what I like to do is find ways as a leader to help them find success, whether that's professionally or with challenges that they're facing. And with that, on the other side of the coin is, like, I think a lot of people in our districts in the U.S., we're definitely struggling to recruit when we have open positions, and also making sure that we keep the talent that we have. So that's just kind of a quick, our wins and our challenges.
Yeah. So what kinds of things do you do? What to keep talent and to support your people? What is your philosophy, or how do you go about that?
You know, as I've grown as a leader, I think maybe I tend early on to have a little bit more control. And I think part of it is giving up some control and really realizing some of the passion of our staff. And I had a superintendent one time talk about leadership like a boundary, like a soccer field. So just make sure your staff knows what's in play and what's out of play, and really give them a lot of autonomy with what's in play. And so we've got some great school psychologists that are really focusing on our students, especially in the age of technology, to learn about how the brain works, and then how that brain affects their emotional regulations and decisions like that. And they feel fulfilled as professionals to be able to go out and build that skill set and then build capacity with our staff. So there's an example of, and I think by doing that, I think I retain them, because I don't know how common that is elsewhere, or when they look for other jobs, if they don't see that, I think they would hate to lose that aspect of their job.
Yeah. Loving where you work, you know, money's always good, you know, but I've seen in survey after survey, it's never the number one thing that people are looking for. You know, with speech therapists and with my company, it's always work-life balance. You know, we always talk about work-life balance. So many of educators, especially speech therapists, we are moms. We're, you know, we want to be home and we want to have that flexibility and we want to be home for when the bus gets home and those kinds of things. So finding that balance between being a full-time parent and having a full-time job or a part-time job or whatever it is really is more important to them than the amount of money that comes in that check every 2 weeks or every month or whatever it is. So giving them those things and having the opportunity to love on them, so to speak, is such a big, it's huge, right?
Yeah. And, you know, to add to that idea of why sometimes people leave jobs, I mean, I think it's been out there in research that people tend to leave people and not jobs. And so one of the things I always challenge my staff at the beginning of the school year, which just was about a month ago, I look them all in the eye when they're in the room with us. It's about one time a year I get them all together. And I say this with sincerity, there isn't another group of people that I want working with at the beginning of the year. But I also remind them that as a leader, can I do things that maybe makes life a little bit of a challenge or miserable for them? I can. But when it comes to day to day, there's not a lot I can do to make them really like their job. It's really up to them how they show up each day and how they support each other in their schools. And I think that's one strength we have as a staff. I always like, you said this will come out around Thanksgiving. They all like to take turns around the holidays and bring food in. So I get to go to the different campuses and try what's going on.
Lovely.
Yeah, but you can see where staff like when staff show up liking their job and wanting to care for each other, I think that also makes hard for people that want to leave because I think they like working with their teams. So we try to create really strong, positive teams.
Yeah, a team that supports each other. Yeah, it's if you don't have that or if you have a bad apple, getting rid of a bad apple is really an important piece of it too. I've had, you know, people that have soured a team and I've had to change things drastically. We experienced that a couple of years ago and it's not fun. It's never fun but when you have a team that's cohesive and they work together and they love each other and they love what they're doing, the kids, the students win, right?
Absolutely. We just had at a K-3 building, one of the staff members noticed, I think it was like National Posse Day, Posse is an entourage. So they all decided to dress as their principal and he's got some distinct flavor. He likes to play the guitar. He's got a goatee. He kind of wears a certain style and he had no clue. The students had no clue. And I'd say probably 80% of the staff dressed like him. And that was just last week. And I told the principal, realize what you've created there. Positive culture doesn't get that organized. And people that appreciate what you do look for unique ways to say thank you. And that was just the highlight, I think, of our district. Some of those photos started circulating around the valley, and people just got a great kick out of it. And that was all teacher led.
That's amazing. We did that for Father's Day at our church. We had all of the dads in the same shirts. it was fun to watch the reactions. So how are you handling the staffing challenges? I mean, you know, we talked about having great teams, but how do you handle when you don't? What do you do? I mean, how do you fill those positions that you can't get filled? What are you guys doing about that?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're looking at more is trying to grow our own. The last few years, we've really had some, and part of that's asking our staff to consider who among, especially our paraprofessionals, really might have the desire and maybe that's inherent skill set. And so we've had hire teachers. We also we're taking a lot more exemptions for licensure. Before, we used to have a lot of great applicants and a high number of applicants. So we would never take authorization, you know, the exception authorizations from the state. And we probably have a handful every year now. And so really the challenge for us is how do we really look for people that are bringing strengths, knowing that they still have areas where they really have to develop. and then being committed to helping them develop. And that was kind of hard for some of our staff because I think they always expected really high level people to come in and they didn't have to attend to them much. But now they're starting to realize if you got a good person with the right heart, with a way with the students, then it's incumbent on all of us to help them find success. And so we've reinvigorated our mentorship program.
I was going to say, you mentor them, don't you? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And our PLCs, I think, are more than just a name. It's an area where the PLCs are really trying to help a new member of that team understand the curriculum and what's expected of them. So part of it is to make them feel supported. We used to always have a philosophy I still like to try to keep to it is when you hire someone, especially out of college, I always hope secretly they make their peers jealous that they really love working for us as a district because all the things we do and that their peers in some other districts like, boy, I wish I'd taken a job with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me what a PLC stands for. What is that acronym?
So for our professional learning communities.
Okay. There you go. And we love our acronyms.
Yes, we do. I try to be mindful of that.
Sorry. You were explaining what PLC, I interrupted you. I apologize.
No. I think a lot of times even with using the acronyms, they can just become a phrase. And I think we've really taken a step back, especially at our elementary school levels. I think they're doing a fantastic job of really understanding the power of the teachers coming together. One of our pillars for our district is collaboration. Mm-hmm. That idea is no one should feel that burden on their own, that you should be thinking through and you're going to solve problems together. And so, and we realize that's another avenue to support our new teachers. Even if a teacher were to move from a grade level or a building, there's power in that professional learning community to help that new member feel welcomed and also start to feel like they have command of what's expected of them that year.
We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together.
That's great. It sounds like you've got the ideas, you've got the plans, and that's it. You know, it's like if you have a strategy and you can implement that strategy and work on taking care of your own house, right? Making sure that your house stays strong, so to speak. That's so vital to the kids. So how many students do you guys have and how many buildings? I know you said you've got 100 miles, but how big is your district? You talked about your staff, but how big is your district?
Yeah, so our smaller community that's south of the Mountain Pass, there are about 200 students. They have their own elementary school and then a junior high school combined. In Star Valley, which is our upper area, that's our remaining students. So our current enrollment's around 2,800 students. And we'll have central high school. Yeah, we have a central high school, a middle school, an alternative high school, and then four elementary schools. And in Wyoming, I think they always kind of go with these data. About 500,000 people live in Wyoming total.
And yes, then I know. Yeah.
40,000 students. So we're considered a large cohort school district with only 2,800 students.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was talking to a lady in Houston, and she was like, we have 38,000, but we're one of the smaller. So I was like, that's small in Houston. Well, in Houston, you know, it's like, yeah. But yeah, but it's the beauty of Wyoming too, is, you know, you've got that amazing big sky. That is one of the things I'll tell you when I moved away from Nebraska that I miss, is that darkness that you can get. I remember you used to go out to, my dad grew up on a 120 acre farm, and I didn't ever realize that normally in big cities, you can't see the Milky Way. And to us, the Milky Way was it just was always there. You just see it, right? And it's just really fascinating to think that people don't get to see that. And it's there. You just have to get to a place where it's dark enough, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it is beautiful. We're fall now. It's interesting. Other people are still feeling the heat of summer, and we're already could see a chance of snow, you know, in the next week or so for our area. You know, we are located south of Jackson, Wyoming, south of Yellowstone. And that is another factor that we also deal with is the high cost of living when it also comes to recruiting, just because it is almost it's hard to afford things in our area.
Oh, yeah. So I have a question that I try to ask all of my, and if you've listened to my podcast, you already know what it is, but what would you say if you could, and you can't say money because, you know, everybody needs more money. We all need more money, right? But if you could fix one thing miraculously, I'm a Christian, you know, I believe that God can do whatever, but if you could fix one thing miraculously that's in your world that you have to deal with, what would that one thing be? So you never had to deal with it again.
You know, one of the interesting things, before I worked in Wyoming, I actually taught in New York City for 5 years. And
wow.
One of the reasons why I left New York City was I just wanted to see what education was like somewhere else. What I found, though, is there's a lot more similarities than there are differences. And so I think even the beginning of this year, you know, and I don't know what that solution is, are the challenges that a lot of our students are coming to school with that are beyond their control. So students that might have inadequate housing situations, tougher homes, you know, lack of food, different challenges like that. And our staff is so caring. And the hard part is they're often asking for help. And especially in our rural area, where maybe an urban area has a lot more nonprofits around, we just don't have those resources. Yeah. And, you know, when a kid comes with those stresses at home, it really impacts, you know, kind of their readiness to maybe have a fully engaged learning experience. And so that's a big ask. I don't know how we can solve that for our kiddos. But I think if you ask any of our staff, they all point to families that are just struggling and sometimes beyond any cause of their own.
Right.
And especially for the students. And how do you solve for that?
Yeah, that's a great answer. You're not the first person that said that I've asked that question. Just having those kids be ready to learn, you know, food and shelter and a loving home. And yeah, it's unfortunately we live in a fallen world, and it breaks your heart when you have a child that just, and especially when it's not anything that the parents did and it's nothing that the child did. It's just the reality of where they're at in their lives. It's heartbreaking. It's definitely hard. And that tells me that you guys care, you know, you care about your kids. You care about where they are and making sure that they get the education that they need. So how many kids do you graduate a year then? How many students graduate from you guys?
That is a great question. I thought I had all my data points.
One you don't know. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So, you know, our high school is about 840 students for four grade levels. So, you know, I think we're probably around a 200 mark for that. So, you know, one of the highlights with our high school is we do also have a great 18 to 21 year old program for our students that are on alternate standards, where a degree is not on their pathway. I know a lot of times people say, you know, did your cohort graduate, you know, to what percentage? And in our district, we always like to say we know everyone's story. And so we hope that all those students that are eligible to get a diploma are graduating on time. But we're okay if they need a fifth year. And for some of our students with more significant needs, we also have a pathway for them till 21 to hopefully get them in the right places in our community. So that's one area that I think we're pretty proud of.
Yeah, that transition time, giving them the time to do the transition to a job, special needs kids. I love that. I love that, you know, as a speech therapist, you know, I've been in many, many, many of those meetings where we're like, is he going to be ready? Do we need to spend more time? You know, what programs are available? I'm always impressed with those transition specialists and the work that they do, because it's critical. You really want those kids to have an opportunity outside of school, because school's their job till they're 21 years old, right? And then what are they going to do? We don't want them sitting and doing nothing, right? Yeah.
And, you know, and back to your question about ways that we retain people, you know, just this year, part of it's also trying to find people that are in the right fit. So for our 18 to 21 year old program, we just moved a new teacher into that role, and we just couldn't be more happy with how it's working. I think they're happy too. And so a lot of times in retaining people is also figuring out if you don't have the right fit or they're just not feeling fulfilled, how do you get them into that right fit? So,
yeah. Yeah. And loving your job is, they say, if you, and I'm a testament to that, if you love what you do, you never work another day in your life. You know, I get to talk to people like you. I was telling you before this, I was like, I'm a speech therapist, so I'm really good at getting people to talk, but I love talking to people and I love hearing this. So doing this podcast to me is a joy because there are so many people in the community of education, administrators. We talked to special education directors like yourself, and we talked about how many different titles there are for that role, but, and superintendents, and you guys care. You care about the kids. You care about your staff. You care about what is happening. And I love the fact that we get an opportunity. Lighthouse does this, and I get to talk to people and then put out the amazing stories from Maine to California, right? And from Florida to Oregon, or, you know, just whatever, because it's just so cool to have the stories out there and be able to celebrate with you guys what's happening, because it matters. You guys are bringing up the next generation.
Yep. No, it's true. And so, it's a, you know, we talk to our staff about the fact that what we do is a challenging and it's a hard job, but I'm also a person that believes that, you know, you have love because you have challenges. You enjoy your job. I think more so because it's difficult. And I think that's why a lot of people in education say it's so rewarding, because on the other side of that being rewarding, it's also every day is a challenging job. You just don't know what the students are going to bring to the table or what the power company is going to bring to our
table.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's always something new. You don't get bored. There's no boring, right? There's no boring for sure. Yeah. If you're bored as an educator, you don't know that you're in the right job. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, Nathan, such a pleasure to talk to you. Where do people go if they want to find out more about your district or just want to reach out and talk to you about what you guys are doing?
Sure. So another acronym, hopefully it's pretty simple, lcsd2.org is our website, or if they just do Lincoln County School District number 2 in Wyoming, and then my contact information would be right on there. And definitely there are people, networking is great. There are people that I reach out because we don't have all the answers, and we love to showcase sometimes what we're doing, and people will come to sometimes visit to see what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's great. And collaboration is key. It is absolutely key. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being on Brighter Together, because, you know, we're brighter together.
Sounds good. Thank you, Janet.